Here's Glenn Healy, legal counsel to all hockey things, joining us. Your Honor, how are you?
Do you think Pickering High School had a legal department? No.
Yeah, when you were there, they needed to.
And when I
they had a lawyer on retainer is what they had.
And when I played with the Pickering Panthers, I just let the Florida Panthers take their name. So what's the difference?
Well,
the league won't give up on this one, though. They'll lawyer this one up to death.
Yeah, and I don't even know where to be. I don't really want to talk to you about it because I can't imagine you have any real insight into it, and I certainly don't. And I don't know. Could you see this coming? There's all kinds of nicknames that are shared by various teams and schools and things. I mean, you mentioned Panthers. There's Panthers all over the place.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm not a trademark lawyer in any way, but I can tell you one thing I do know. With my doctorate in street smarts,
yeah,
you piss off a bunch of billionaires, then they find ways of winning.
Yeah, they do.
This one here, I think, ends up going Las Vegas's way. I can't see them just backing away. And it's an important thing for this owner to pick the name, to pick the colors, and in no way did he look at some high school team and say, yeah, that's the team I want to emulate. Not a chance.
Do you predict a check will be written somewhere to soothe all hurt feelings?
Oh, that would never happen. Does that happen?
Yeah, it's possible.
Well, there's always a way to get what you want in this world.
The issue is based on a likelihood of confusion with the St. Rose Golden Knights.
Of Albany, New York.
Yeah, I can see many, many people being confused. I just watched the presidential election and Trump won. I can definitely agree with that.
Yeah, there will be confused people. Yeah, you're right.
Confused all over the place down south of us.
Aren't they, though? Yeah. Don't look now, but the Toronto Maple Leafs are tied for last place in the Eastern Conference. And this is sort of one of those ones that's probably snuck up on fans. It sort of snuck up on me. You know, you look at them and they're entertaining and they play pretty decent hockey and they make mistakes and they lose close games and they blow leads and they do all the things that young teams do. But, you know, they're just a week or so ago, you're kind of looking and saying, you know, if they get it going, they might even threaten for a playoff spot. Now they're looking at the number one draft choice. What's going on? What do you make of this?
Well, a lot of it has to do with the schedule and their schedule was not advantageous for putting points on the board. It was great for Babcock to run his practices and to, you know, brainwash his young players into playing defense. But, you know, you take some time off without trying to get points, and teams that you were ahead of all of a sudden are starting to get it together and are playing with that level that you would have expected. And voila, you look in the standings and you've fallen behind. And so these next bunch of games, it's the most critical part of the schedule because most of them are at home. They should get the right matchups that they want. They have to win them. If they fall behind and get any kind of a losing streak put together, then stick a fork in their season. It's just going to be about development.
They also won't get Dubnyk the next little while.
No. And you know, they played last night, tons of scoring chances. Dubnyk was great.
He was the difference.
But at the other end, it was like they were the Three Musketeers with, you know, Toro with the swords, just gabbing at pucks and missing them and losing checks. And I mean, guys 6 feet from the net scoring easy goals. So they have to learn how to play without the puck. Not easy to do. Young guys come in the league. It takes 4 or 5 years to even learn how to command faceoffs, how to take advantage of linesmen and know the tendencies of other players. So when you're not starting with the puck, when you're chasing the game, when you're young, when you don't know what it's like to compete absolutely every night, then you're the type of team that we're watching. They're exciting and great storylines, and they're going to be there for a while, but they're not ready yet.
Do you like what you saw with Minnesota or what you've seen with Minnesota this year?
That team, to me, I just have no sexiness with Minnesota.
No,
they
never have been that team. They've always been very pedestrian, workmanlike, defensive oriented. I kind of thought Gabby would really open things up, but I guess the jockey can only do so much. It depends on the horse you got, right?
Totally. And you know, when that team to me is no different, maybe a couple more stars, but they're no different than when Jacques Lemaire coached them, and they didn't play the one 3-1 or the 1-4. They played the 0-5.
Yeah.
Jumping in and go stand at center and rover, we call Toronto over and hope for a turnover. I know there's a lot more pressure on that club. They've got to win a playoff round this year, or their general manager more than likely is gone. So, but they're, you know, if I'm looking at a game to watch tonight, I'm clicking by Minnesota and going to pick somebody else.
I agree. I haven't talked to Gabby, but I'm guessing that this, he knows what he's got and what he's got to do, but I'm quite sure he's not thrilled with the kind of hockey they're playing. It's not his style.
No, and you're relying far too often on your goaltender. When you are dependent on your goaltender and not interdependent on your team, then you're in trouble. That's not, the, you know, you get into the playoffs, but getting through a couple rounds, you know, you've got to be able to play a complete way. You got to play against trap teams. You got to play against fast teams. You got to play against big teams and beat them at their own game. And I don't think Minnesota can do that.
What do you think is going on, if anything, between Babcock and William Nylander? Do you think there's a thing there?
I don't think so. And I think, in fact, there's been, he's defended him in almost every case. So, again, another young guy who, you know, I can remember 2008, we had a Players Association meeting in Washington. I flew down and they finished practice and there was these two young kids on the ice. And the skill level of these two young kids, I couldn't believe it. Hadn't seen anything like that anywhere up north of the border. And sure enough, it was the Nylander kids. And one of them was William. And so right from an early age, the kid had all kinds of talent. Now he's just got to piece it together and have the coach trust him. That's the big thing with coaches. They've got to trust you. You know, I mean, Zach Hyman, why do you think he plays as much as he does? Because Babcock went and watched him in Michigan. Him and Red Berenson talked about how great the kid was. And Mike was probably disappointed that he didn't get drafted by Detroit. And so he's one of his favorites in Toronto. And some people question why he's on the line he's on. But the coach trusts him. That's the biggest thing for coaches, finding that level of trust.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder whether Nylander's play, do you think Nylander's play has gone downhill the last couple of weeks?
Well, he's, again, young kid, men's league.
Yeah.
Every night you're going and you're playing against some of the best players in the world. This is not the American Hockey League where you can just go do anything you want.
Right.
I went and watched him a number of times last year in the American League. I thought he was the best player in the league, but just, it's too easy. It's too easy. It's too easy for him to just do whatever he wanted to do. Now he gets up into this level, and it just, you know, teams, for the most part, they don't take a shift off. Because if they do, then the coach loses confidence and you don't play. So he's just still trying to find his way.
Glenn, isn't all of this to be expected, though? Isn't this good and bad what we expected from this Leaf team? I mean, nobody was talking about the playoffs 8-9 weeks ago. People were talking about taking baby steps in different ways.
It is exactly what we would all have expected. You know, and I played for young teams. I played with the Islanders when we rebuilt, and we were young. We'd finish games, we'd win, and it was like we had fought in World War II. Total exhaustion after the game. You know, you hardly make it to the shower. You're that spent because it was everything in you to get your 2 points. And then I played with the Rangers. And New York Rangers, Mark Messier, all kinds of Stanley Cups in the locker room. We won most of our games in one period. After 20 minutes, it's over. Can we leave now? But then it was later on after we'd won a cup, it took us to the second last game of the year to get into the playoffs because we refused to stop celebrating the Stanley Cup. So it does happen. It's a hard league. Even with all the cups that we had in New York, it took us to the second last game in Philly to get into the dance.
There is a perception, I may be wrong with this, but I believe there's a perception out there that if there's a hell in the National Hockey League, a place you don't want to go, Long Island may be one of them. It is not the most popular place. You do not, well, I don't think since the Al Arbor days we've seen guys really want to play on Long Island. And there's a variety of reasons for that. Tavares is now suggesting he'd like to stay, but are you buying that?
Well, what can he say?
Right, and that's what I'm. That's my point.
You know, it's like in Montreal with Pacioretty. You think he's happy playing with Mechanics?
No.
But he's going to go say, "I want to be moved. I'm the captain of Montreal. time for me to get on the first lifeboat. Titanic is
not thinking. Publicly anyway.
No. But they in Long Island, they've had, you know, I have trouble with their old ownership in the sense that, you know, when Al Arbour passed away, if it's me and I'm the owner, I would have put the entire team on my private plane and flew them down to the funeral.
Hell yes.
Didn't happen. Why? Should have happened. You just living in Garden City, practicing in another part of Long Island, and then playing in Brooklyn, which is so easy to get to with very little traffic in New York.
So yeah.
Are you kidding?
On perfect ice.
And a lot of times, like, you know, you'll stay there through the day in a hotel, but is your wife and kids going to drive by themselves into Brooklyn? I don't think so.
No, but even when they were up the road in Union, you know, it became an unpopular place to play, and maybe economics were a big part of that, and a crummy arena and an owner you didn't really like. I mean, I don't know. I I've never been through it, but it has not been, at least since the Arbour days, it hasn't been a popular place to play.
And a lot of it's leadership and ownership. And
yeah.
Now they've got ownership that's very friendly.
It would appear.
They want to make a cultural change in Long Island. I mean, Ledecky is the only owner in the history of the NHL to come to an NHL alumni gala dinner. He bought a table.
Yeah.
So he cares about the alumni. But he looks at the organization and he says, what did I buy? It's a different security guard at the door that I go in every time I come to a game. It's not like the family that you have in Toronto. And so he understands that the organization, they need a makeover. And, you know, you can't have, you know, Matt Molson, who was one of John Tavares' best friends, played on the line with him, scored goals, they're loving it, he's gone. Right. And Pozzo, he's gone. Say what you want about Matt Martin. One thing I'll say about him, he's the only player that stayed in Long Island all summer and showed up at every charitable event that was in that community. Most guys fly the coop because rent's so expensive.
Right.
He stayed, and they couldn't wait to get rid of him.
Hmm.
So there's a whole makeover that has to be done.
And they gave Ladd a tremendous amount of money to, and of course, he hasn't worked out at all there.
He's got to have pictures of somebody somewhere. I can't figure that one out. And so, you know, when Winnipeg runs from their captain,
right. Something's
up.
But in theory, they were trying. I mean, it hasn't worked out in practice. But
they weren't dumb enough to give him the money that the Islanders gave him.
Right.
So, but, you know, his foot speed, it's not going to be there now, let alone in a couple of years when he's playing at the back end of that deal.
Have you watched much of the Calgary Flames of late?
I have, yes.
They've been reborn, at least briefly. It's too early, I think, to say that there's a trend here. But they look lost and forlorn and almost shockingly so. And they've started to put some wins together.
Well, they weren't as bad at the start of the year as what we saw. But their goaltender every night was winning at dodgeball. Like, no one was better in the league. Now, this guy, first star at dodgeball every night.
Yeah.
And then they get, you know, a goaltender in Chad who all of a sudden gives them a chance to win and is a star on most of the nights that he's played down the stretch here. And so, you know, that's the one thing about goaltending. We watch it in Toronto. You can't win with average goaltending. You get above average goaltending, and you got a smart coach and a good team, and you're playoff bound. And that's what they're getting from their guy in between the posts.
It didn't hurt that Goodrow came back firing, too.
Yeah, he's a dynamic player, creates something every shift. And you have to have game breakers on your team. You've got to have guys, because most, you know, you watch the NHL, pretty much every team plays the same way. They cut the ice in half. They, you know, they don't play like Team North America in the World Cup. And so you all these games, even when the Leafs last year were 30th, every game was tight. But they didn't have a game breaker, which they have now. And Goodrow's one of those guys. Tight games, he can make something out of nothing or create a penalty out of nothing, and it gives your team a chance to win.
Who's the best team in the NHL right now?
You know, I look at the New York Rangers.
Yeah.
And I know they've stumbled a little bit. They've had some injuries. But they look confident. They look fast. They're well coached. They've got a good goalie. They've got a good defenseman. They're strong up the middle, and I don't think they're done tinkering with their lineup. So, you know, they're a team to me that they're going to make some noise in the postseason.
I don't know if you feel this way, but I feel that the NHL's parity plan is working so effectively that it's starting to put my feet to sleep. What I really miss this year is that great team that you can kind of look at, and that stamp was certainly on the Montreal Canadiens coming out of the chute. Although I don't think any of us believed they were nearly as good as their record suggested, but they've fallen back into a semi mediocrity. And their future might not look very bright with injuries and whatever else is going on there. But there's just no team jumps out at me as being, like, really, really good.
Well, this is exactly the script that the league wanted when a salary cap was put in. You get good, you got to pay your players. Pay your players, you got to strip down your team. Chicago Blackhawks, you look at their club, they won their first cup. Guy wins a Conn Smythe. He's got a bonus for the Conn Smythe of a couple mil. That gives him, that puts him over the cap. They have a cap penalty the following year, and they say goodbye to Bufflin, and they say goodbye to Ladd, and they say goodbye to a bunch of players that had won a cup there. They didn't want to strip that down. The Boston Bruins win a Stanley Cup. They run into cap issues. Same thing there. Bye-bye, Dougie Hamilton. We're not going to sign some of our veteran players, whether it's Seidenberg has to go or Johnny Boychuk. So that is the nature of the business of hockey with the way it exists with the CBA. Now, that document, I'd highly recommend you not read it. It's about as boring as you can get. That being said, it's the document that both sides have to follow, and it's one that just doesn't allow you to put together a real dynasty for year after year. That being said, you see the same teams. There's the top four, whether it's L.A. or Chicago or Boston, Pittsburgh, they just seem to be the ones to get the document figured out, keep their core, and find young players like Pittsburgh did last year when Connor Sheary came up and their defense was a bunch of cast-offs from Gilligan's Island, and they ended up winning a cup with speed and a coach who was a cast-off. So it's difficult to keep your group together. It was difficult back when Al Arbor had his New York Islanders. It was difficult even for the Oilers. How many of those guys had contract disputes? Kevin Lowe, who's one of the guys who runs the team there, he had to leave and come to New York for, just at that time, $500,000. My gosh, that's a good team dinner now.
But maybe the difference is, Glenn, that back then it wasn't a zero-sum game like it is now.
Oh, no.
Because
no.
of the salary cap.
Yeah. No, you're right. But there's lots of parity. There's a recipe to build your team. And it is the seven times that you get to the podium every year at the draft, you pick the right guy.
Right.
The Montreal Canadiens, you talked about them. They had three picks in their one draft, and it was Ryan McDonagh, who ended up being a real good player. We know that. Pacioretty and PK Subban. Right. I mean, basically, they built their team before Toronto even got to the podium. Toronto hadn't even had a pick yet. So you build it right at the podium. Get lots of young players. Young players are cheap. You can keep your core and then replace some of the parts that are just throwaways.
We got to go, but the one team that I've started looking at again, and I'm pinching
Vegas?
Myself. Yeah, not Vegas. The Columbus Blue Jackets. I mean, you think it's a mirage, but they've rattled off another four wins in a row. They might have arguably, they got games in hand. They arguably might have as good a record as anybody in the East. I think they do. I don't know. I don't believe it. It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but somehow they're getting it done.
Well, and arguably have the Jack Adams Award winner, if you're to pick it now, in John Tortorella. And if you talk to John Davidson a couple years ago, he was uber excited about the future of the team and the youth they had coming in.
No, I know.
And so we're starting to see that youth now. And last year we saw injured players that left their lineup and those youthful guys weren't ready. Maybe they've taken that next step and they're ready. And that team looks like they can do some damage. A couple of years ago in the playoffs, they were linebackers on ice. They were a real good hockey club.
Yeah.
Now they've got a lot of complement of a whole lot of other stuff as well. They're quick and smart and the power play's going. And they don't have a goalie saying, I have no confidence.
Yeah.
That's always great to hear you're coming into the building.
Heels, we got to go. It's always a pleasure. We'll talk to you next week, pal.
Have a great one, boys.